Good morning. I was talking with Bev this morning, and I said, "How's it going, Bev?" She said, "Things are going pretty good. I think I'm going to need to get my bathroom mirror replaced." And I said, "Well, what's that about?" And she said, "Every time I look in it, there's an old person looking back at me." I thought, you know what? I think my mirror was built by the same manufacturer. You ever walk in this room and think, "Wow, what an awesome group of godly people! How'd I get here?" It's always good to be able to come, rejoice in God's grace and mercy, share one another's burdens. Yeah, I noticed this morning a lot of heavy hearts in the room. And thank God we have a place to come support one another. Amen. Karen wasn't able to make it with me this morning. She's feeling under the weather, and I asked her to stay home. Hopefully she's joining us by Zoom. Hey, baby. If I was going to put a name on my thoughts in the message this morning, it would be, "What's the point?" Our faith provides us countless opportunities to share our faith and hope with other people. I had an opportunity to invite a man to go to church with me one day, and his response was, "I'm not going to church. All they want to do is brainwash me." And without thought or hesitation, I thought, "Well, brother, it appears that you could use a good brainwashing." I thought that was clever, and he wasn't amused. Brief update on some personal things. Some of you may know my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer last month. He had a Whipple surgery on Thursday where it's an incredibly invasive surgery where they remove parts that was Thursday, and today's Sunday, and they had him up out of bed today, and we're encouraged. We've made it over some hurdles, and there are hurdles in front of us. And my folks are faithful people, and I can't even imagine me trying to wrap my head around or endure things of that magnitude, let alone my folks, without their faith. Thank God for our faith. I noticed that the days are getting shorter again. Seasons are changing again. Karen and I were talking about the change in seasons and how for those of us that are getting a little bit older, they seem to change a little bit faster each year. That's real for you younger people. Somewhere in our conversations, we began to talk about the changing seasons of our life as well. There's a lot of changes going on in our lives and in the lives of others around us right now. As a result of our conversations, I spent some time recently in the book of Ecclesiastes, looking at the human experience through the eyes of the author's perspective. Ecclesiastes reveals some troubling realities about our human nature and about our human experience, the changing season of our lives, the elusive logic when attempting to understand God. The word "meaningless" is woven throughout the text. And the original Hebrew word I looked up was hevel. It's often translated into "meaningless." What's the point? But is probably more accurately translated into "smoke" or "vapor." The point being that you cannot possess or control smoke. It's elusive and mysterious. However, what we can control is how we react to life. And praise God, we are in possession of His grace that helps us navigate through this difficult life. In addition, we are a part of a body of believers, amen, who are compelled to support and love one another. Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist in Germany at the time of the Second World War. He was persecuted, incarcerated, and placed in a Nazi concentration camp, Auschwitz. He survived the ordeal and wrote a book about it called Man's Search for Meaning. You know, what's the point? Ultimately for me, what he was saying is that when we ask the question, what is the meaning of life, we're actually asking the wrong question. What meaning can I bring to this life? What meaning can I bring to the lives of others is the question that we need to be asking. Through seeking to answer that question, we find the answer to the question of what is the meaning of life. What meaning can to life answers the question, what's the meaning of life? That's where I get real meaning, seeking to know and love and worship our Lord and Savior, minister to the people that He puts in our path. Think about that, the beauty and selflessness of serving other people. That's what we do. Prior to someone sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with me, I never remember waking up in the morning and thinking to myself, what can I do to serve and support other people today? That's the transforming power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's mind-altering and life-changing. I'd like to take a few minutes this morning and share a few things about the ministry that God has created and allows Karen and I to serve in. As I've shared in the past, New Hope is now receiving men who are paroling from prison. There's a gap between prison and independent living. Countless people fall into that gap because they don't have the support that they need. No resources, and often don't have the skills to navigate through the very real challenges that face men who are trying to re-enter society while starting from scratch. We support men of all ages, faiths, experiences, and skills. The challenges are extensive, and the rewards are very empowering, life-changing. Part of what we do is try to develop resources for people. Karen and I last week had an opportunity to go to Goodwill Industries corporate office. They put up or renovated a structure in Oxnard. And we have supported them and they have supported us. We send a number of our participants through all kinds of types of resources that they have. One in particular is called Second Chance. They do training, build resumes, help people learn computers. There's a lot more going on at Goodwill than selling used clothes at the local shop. It's an amazing organization, and we're glad to be teamed up with them. The things that they do. They also found out that I was sharing part of the process this morning. I also found out that they, after they filter through a lot of they have this huge process of how they filter through the donations that are given, and literally nothing goes to waste. Some of the high-end stuff that they find, they say, and they find the value for, and they have a website. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name of the website because they told my wife the name of the website. And then you go on and you got little knickknacks and things that you can bid on. And the next thing you know, you're all caught up in that. So I'm not recommending that. We recently graduated a man who spent 45 years in prison. His name's Larry. He was a Vietnam vet. And then when he returned from the war, he wasn't prepared for the challenges that faced him. Spent 45 years in prison, and when he got out, he was ill-equipped to effectively navigate over the hurdles that faced a man in his position. Can you imagine? He had no resources, no family, no support. For him to be able to come to a place like New Hope, where other people understand his situation, and they can begin to help him connect some of the dots and help him make sense of the new world that he's living in, is valuable to him in a way that's bigger. He's made a lot of great progress learned how to use a cell phone, and I'm happy to report that the Veterans Administration has stepped up, and that's another resource that we're tapping into. They're providing long-term housing for him. He has some serious medical conditions that they're also supporting him on. I'd also like to share another story with you about a man named Frank that paroled last year after about 30 years of incarceration. He's a faithful man with a loving and supportive family, and he's better equipped to manage the challenges than most. Although he is experiencing some very real anxiety while out in public, that's not unusual. Everybody's a little different, and this particular component of transitioning from one world into the next has been a significant challenge for Frank. I took him to Human Resources last week to begin the process of trying to get him some medical insurance lined up and some other things. That usually takes quite a bit of time, so I took off to go run some other errands. And about a half when he finished, he called me, and he was becoming nervous because he stepped outside the building, and I wasn't there. He's standing in front of a building with no idea where he is or what to do. And I told him that since he was done early, why not walk across the street to the DMV and further stress your life out? try to get an ID. Well, that was just a little bit too much for him to take in. I could hear the stress in his voice. And his fears are irrational, but they're real. You know, depression is irrational, but it's real, and we have to wrestle with it. The idea of moving for Frank from the position that he was holding down was just too overwhelming, so I started to talk him through it and giving some directions through the phone and encouraging him while I'm trying to tell him, you know, trust the process, we can do this. Once he arrived at the DMV, I got off the phone. Eventually somebody else went and picked him up when he was done because trying to get him a bus at that point was just asking way too much. So we went and picked him up. It's a progress of slowly trying to acclimate, and others are different. Some people hit the ground running and they need to be encouraged to slow down, and others need help every step along the way, prompted to do things that are just too scary for them. When I caught up with Frank later on the day, he told me that while he was trying to become brave enough to go inside the DMV, a security guard came up to him and said, hey, are you all right? And he said, no. He shared a little bit about his situation, and he didn't know what to do or how to do it. And the security guard happened to be a female, and he said to me, she looked like somebody I could trust, so I asked her for some help and direction. She gave him some words of encouragement that he recognized as the words that would be spoken from a person of faith. So he confided in her. She comforted him and helped him through the process. The next day we had someone else that needed to go to the DMV, and Frank went along for the ride. He's brave now, right? Frank went and found the security guard, and he thanked her for her kindness. They got to talk, and then she invited him to her church. Finding a church in this new, scary world is something that Frank's been praying about, and now he has it. The situation could have easily been viewed as just another insignificant encounter. But for me, that's the body of Christ out in our community, making a difference and impacting the lives of others, you know. Honoring God and glorifying Jesus Christ. Amen. If you think about it for a minute now, this gal works at the DMV. I suspect that she has a stressful job that is filled with countless people, frustrated people, that can't get their needs met. You know what I mean? What a job. And she shines anyway. She saw a need, someone struggling, and went out of her way to support this brother. That sort of thing really blesses me and charges my battery every day. Just like walking in here today. It works. It's a necessary part of my life. Frank's anxiety is getting better. And now he knows how to make a phone call and send a text. The things that seem so simple can be real burdens for some. Learning the phone, believe it or not, is one of our biggest issues. You have to be able to navigate around on a telephone, and it can be quite intimidating because the younger generation, who are awesome and they're gifted, they get the phone and they say, "This, you just do this, okay?" And then that was a series of about 8 steps that took about 3 seconds, but you need all 8 steps, and it takes someone that's willing to take a deep breath and be patient to deal with us older folks that are technically challenged. Another very real aspect of the transition from prison that has to deal with men connecting and reconnecting with family members. Obviously, there's a lot of negative history involved for anybody who's coming out of prison, right? Some of these men have come from families and backgrounds that are hard to comprehend. Many have suffered things that are beyond abnormal or criminal. Supporting others as they wrestle with the forgiveness of self and learning how to appropriately forgive others is an important component of what we do. You know, we work out from our faith on this, what we've learned. Karen and I have had our own struggles with forgiveness. In our faith, we know that God forgave us, and so we forgive others. It seems pretty simple and straightforward. But the wounds that I've created and the wounds that I possess are deep and complicated to the human mind. I was intimidated by the whole idea that God forgives me, I forgive myself and others, and that's that. And I look around me and it just seems like everybody else gets it, but I'm not getting it. It just wasn't that simple for me. So I'm thinking to myself, I was sharing with Greg this morning, obviously God's not the problem. So I must be the problem. I must be a man of weak faith because it's all simple to everybody else. How do I embrace God's forgiveness? How do I live in forgiveness? Well, come to find out, it takes time, study, prayer, worship, and fellowship to grow in Christ and for Christ to grow in me. There's no tricks and there's no shortcuts. Through our studies and experiences and the discoveries that we made, Karen and I decided to write and publish a book about forgiveness. It's called The Road to Closure, A Journey Through Forgiveness. This project will never be mistaken as a literary masterpiece. In fact, for us, the process was always much more important than the end product. It was a really good experience. And for us, I found that some of the principles and some of the things we've learned along the line and the practical application of forgiveness are useful in the teaching of some of our current endeavors and the men that we work with. The idea of the book is this. Whenever we're hurt or betrayed, the goal is to come to a place of closure regarding the situation. There are a number of places in our minds, will take us in attempt to move toward closure. Anger, sadness, isolation, revenge. These are all normal thoughts and emotions, but the key is not to get stuck in any of these places. If I go to a place of revenge in my mind and I hang out there too long, I may begin to form some thoughts followed by actions that are really not in the best interest of my future, don't honor my faith. Ultimately, there's no way to get to a place of closure without first going through forgiveness. In regards to our human actions and in the reality that we wrestle with navigating through pain, fear, and frustration regularly, our belief is that forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself. When I choose to hold on to a resentment, I suffer. I'm the one losing. When I forgive myself and others, I'm the one that benefits. When I forgive others, I'm not only releasing them, I'm freeing myself up and placing myself in a much better position to honor God and serve others. It's a group of small stories about different people in different situations that we've encountered along the way. It looks at their struggles and how things played out for them. And Karen and I's story is indirectly woven into the book as well. I had a mentor for many years, and one time he asked me a question. He said, if you bump a glass of milk, what comes out, Kenny? Okay. Well, the answer is simple. You bump a glass of milk, milk comes out, right? Correct. Okay, he says. So when someone bumps your cup, what comes out? Well, whatever is in the cup comes out. That's the point, right? And so I think about my week. I ask you to think about your week. Everybody's cup gets bumped. When your cup was bumped this week, what came out? I'd like to believe that when my cup is bumped, that grace, patience, and empathy will come out. Because God provides that in an unending supply. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Things in our life, and Karen and I's life, have been a little busier and a little more challenging than normal this last month. Conflict, disease, surgery, life's in session, that's for sure. I've noticed that I'm more easily agitated, less patient. And I have to be mindful of where my head and my heart are when I'm dealing with people. Karen often says that sometimes you don't have to scratch the surface very hard to reveal our human nature to the rest of the world. Sometimes we come out of character and we act or speak in ways that doesn't honor God. That's the reality of the human condition. That's why forgiveness is so important. Embracing God's forgiveness. Forgiving others. Forgiving ourselves. And just as importantly, asking others to forgive us when we've wronged them. I'm encouraged by the faith that I get to practice. I'm encouraged by the support that I have received from this fellowship for about 30 years now. The numbers are getting pretty high. That's why the mirror's broken. One quick thing in closing. We received a donation a few weeks ago. And before the end of the day, the amount that that donation came to and the amount that someone needed in order to find shelter for that evening was, you know when those things happen, how good that feels, wow, that was awesome. It's not always like that. You know that these things are lining up and this is how this is and it's beautiful. And at other times it's confusing. And thank God we have one another. I would be completely lost without the support of the body of Christ. And I think the key when I come here, the key is to sit next to people that know the words of the song and sing good. We had a pretty good section going over here this morning, didn't we? I love you. And so what's the point? The point is to honor God and serve one another. It sounds simple, but it can be really difficult day to day. My eyes have not yet seen, my ears haven't heard, and my mind cannot comprehend the things that the Lord has in store for us. Is that awesome or what? Thank you for your time today. God bless all y'all.